I want to preach to you this morning the thought, the enemy is talking about you. You know, we're on his hit list, you know. And if he can take you out, he'll do it. He'll take advantage of any opportunity he can to bring destruction to your life. And as I was praying and seeking the Lord this week, and the Lord brought me to these passages in the book of Judges, chapter 7, verses 9 through 15. If we could stand for the reading of his word this morning. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, we're talking about Gideon here. Gideon had already struggled in his own heart to do what God had told him to do. And he put out fleeces. How many remember this story? He put out fleeces, and one time the fleece was dry and the ground was wet, and the next time the fleece was wet and the ground was dry, and he was struggling with knowing God's will. And one of the things that impacts me the most about this story is that Gideon comes from a time when they had not seen a great move of God. Gideon actually says, "Where is the Lord? The God of miracles that we hear about, that everybody said he does these things. Where's this God at? I don't know." That's how this call started. But God was going to use Gideon for something magnificent. And so he had to work through Gideon's insecurity, his unbelief, and his complications in his own life to get him to a place to believe that God was with him. Have you ever needed to know God was with you? Yes. Well, I don't throw stones at Gideon. I sympathize with Gideon. I've heard a lot of preachers throw stones at him, and I don't really do that because I've been in the same boat where I'm like, hey, Lord, I want to put out a fleece. Hey, Lord, I really need to know for sure. Are you really sure, God, that's what you want me to do? And so look at this. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to him. This is the night that God is telling him to do his will exactly. God says this to Gideon: "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand." God said that. This is yours, Gideon. "But if you are afraid to go down," which he is, "go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say." Listen to what the enemy is saying. "And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as a locust, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it, so it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Now, when I read this, my first thought is, he ate something bad. That's my thought about the dream. My thought isn't, okay, the Lord's bringing victory. I'm like, this is bad pizza the night before. You ever had dreams because you ate something not good, right? That's how I feel about this. But look at the interpretation. Verse 14. "Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.'" That's a big interpretation, right? "And it was so, and so it was. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand.'" I want you to see that. He is parroting what God had said after he hears what the enemy is saying. So I want to preach this thought to you. The enemy is talking about you. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for another opportunity to preach your word. God, I don't take it lightly. I stand here, God, in complete and in dire need of your anointing. I deserve nothing from you. Father, you have been so gracious and loving to me. Father, I know that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing except you, Father, that you have redeemed me and forgave me of all my sins. And Father, I pray that you'll use me for your glory. Lord, not for mine, but your glory, God, that we will come closer and draw closer to you. Lord, that we'll be able to fight the good fight of faith, that we will endure hardness as good soldiers as you've called us to. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want quickly to tell you what my ultimate goal is. My ultimate goal this morning is to eliminate fear in your heart so that you will do the will of God. Fear in your heart so that you'll do the will of God. It's not an easy thing to step out and do God's will. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we are the topic of conversation when it comes to the enemy. The enemy has only one force standing in his way, and that is the children of the light. That is you and I, God's people, standing abruptly saying, this is not the way, this is not what we do, this is not how we stand, this is not what we believe. As a matter of fact, if you're a Christian, you stick out like a sore thumb. In a big crowd of people and a multitude of people like grasshoppers on the ground and like camels like the multitudes of camels like the sands of the seashore is the world that we live in today of ungodliness. And we stand in direct opposition against the enemy. The fact that you walk into a room with the light of Jesus Christ in your life makes you a target. You don't even necessarily have to open your mouth when you step out and say, I love Jesus, or you are a Christian. You walk into a room and all of a sudden, all the darkness that's around you is radiated by your light. Something happens in the spiritual realm of things. I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's something boiling in the camp of the enemy. There's something evil afoot. Something's going on that we can see. The enemy is definitely on the prowl. He's definitely wanting to attack. And so his number one opposition is not the people who are with him or not the world or not the politicians. It's not the governors of the cities or the mayors of the cities. It's not the Senate House. It's not the president. It's none of these people are his opposition. His opposition is sitting in this church this morning. It's sitting in all the churches across America and all over the world today is the opposition the enemy faces every single day. When we stand for righteousness, we directly go to battle against the enemy. And so we are a topic of conversation. How do we stop them? How do we hinder them? How can we stop them from fulfilling the will of God in their life? How can we stop them from loving God and get them discouraged and despondent and just get them to a place where they won't even follow God at all? How do we get them there? That's the thoughts of the enemy this morning. How can he stop you from following God? How can he stop you from having victory? Did not the enemy say about Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was called to do the will of God of rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, the enemy boasted big and said, are they going to go out in the heaps of the rubbish? Are they going to revive the stones that have been burnt and broken down? Are they going to revive the stones and build the wall again? The enemy was attacking them with words and intimidation. They even said, if a fox runs up their wall, it'll fall down. That's what the Bible tells us about Nehemiah. But Nehemiah did not allow the enemy to stop him from accomplishing the will of God. He went down into the heaps of the rubbish and he pulled out the stones and he put the stones back in place. You see, sometimes God calls people to be a revival, to go into a place where there has been burnt down stones and heaps of rubbish and bring reviving back to people's spirits. And put those stones back in place. And oh, don't you think for one second, if God called you to do something great, the enemy is going to lay down and just let it happen. If you're going to stand for righteousness, expect opposition. Expect it. Don't be alarmed when it comes, but expect it. Because when it does come, it will give you a peace and comfort to know that you're doing something right, because the devil's obviously mad. Did not Job say, did not the devil say to God, if you let me touch Job, if you let me get to Job, he'll curse you to his face? There was a conversation about Job, wasn't there? There was a conversation concerning who he was and who he was in God. And the devil said, the only reason why he serves you is because he has it good. Do you only serve the Lord because you have it good? No. We serve him even in the good and the bad times. We serve him in the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows. We serve him in whatever case and whatever circumstance we go through in life. We serve the Lord. And Job was that man. And God said, no, he won't curse me. No, he won't. And God gave leeway for the enemy to attack Job. He took his kids. He took his homes. He took his money, his livestock, all his possessions, and put him down on a heap of ash with boils on his body. And I've always been fascinated. Why didn't the devil take his wife? And I found out why, because when you finish reading the text, she says, curse God and die. She became the voice of the enemy to his heart. What was the plot in heaven? He'll curse you to your face if you take all this away. And from his own wife, the one he loves, he hears those words, curse God and die. A conversation went on about him. But Job arose victorious. Nehemiah arose victorious. The enemy is always talking about us. The Bible tells a story about in Syria how the enemy of Israel was coming to attack Israel, and they set up ambushes so that when Israel would march through a certain area, unbeknownst to them, they'd be pounced on and attacked, and they had no clue that this attack was coming. They thought everything was fine. But the Lord spoke to the prophet Elisha and said, Elisha, tell the king of Israel, the king of Syria is plotting on him. Don't go this way. And so the king of Israel would not go that specific way. And when the king of Syria found out, he goes, what's going on here? Let's set up another ambush. So they did it again. And God said, Elisha, tell them, don't go this way. And so they didn't go that way. And the king of Syria got so mad, he said, there's somebody in my own people that's telling them what I'm about to do. And so he calls for a meeting, and finally one of the men says, listen, king, I want you to know, we're not telling anybody anything, but there's a prophet, and God's telling the prophet Elisha what you're doing, and he's telling him what you're talking about in your own bedroom. Oh, that made the king mad. He said, you bring me that Elisha. You bring me. You see, the enemy has to get the one that stands for God out of the way so that the enemy can have his way. The enemy wants to have his way, but the only reason he can't have his way fully in your family is because you stand in direct opposition against the enemy in your own family, against the enemy in your own country, against the enemy in your own home. You stand in opposition. You see, you got to understand something. Satan is planning an attack. He is planning an attack. The question is, are you going to be ready to stand when he comes? I'm thankful for the help of the Lord, because I'll tell you what, sometimes the enemy comes in like a flood. And I don't know if you've noticed the floods of life, but floods are very devastating. They take everything you have and they demolish it. And the enemy is described as a flood. That when he comes, he doesn't come dancing and going, hey, I just want to let you know I'm going to attack you on Monday. And just so you're aware of it, I'm coming. And when I do come, I'm going to sneak in this way, all right? So that way you know this is the way I'm coming. But if you're smart, you'll stand right there and you'll watch for me. The enemy doesn't do that. The Gospels teach us that if we knew what hour the thief would come, we would have prepared, right? The enemy comes in unexpectedly and like a flood. But I'm so thankful that the Scripture says that when he does come in like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. He raises up that banner against him and says, you can come no further. I am thankful because, brothers and sisters, beloved, it rains on the just and the unjust. We can go through good times and bad times. It can be good one moment, basking in the sun, wonderful, enjoying the wonderful weather. The next moment, stormy clouds. clouds and raging seas. It could be that fast. But oh, praise be to God that when we are in a place like that, God has not forsaken us. No matter where we are, no matter how bad, God is still there. What can separate us from the love of God? What? Nothing can. Nothing can separate you from His love. He loves you no matter where you are, no matter how hard you've been, no matter how stubborn you are. He still loves you. Can height separate you? No. Can depth separate you? No. Can principalities or wickedness, can these things separate? No, these things cannot. God still loves us, even though the enemy has worked us over sometimes. Now, I want you to know something about the enemy. I'm not going to say that he's all bark and no bite, because if you've been bit by him, you know he can bite. But I will tell you this, that as believers, he loves to intimidate us. And he wants to influence your decision about the will of God by intimidation. He wants to intimidate you to not do his will. And so he boasts big and proud. And he stands on a top and he beats his chest and he roars with a great roar. And he's hoping that that will strike enough fear in you to stop you from going further with God. To stop you from pursuing more of God. To stop you from accepting what God has for you. And so he looks big. I see this picture in Gideon's mind. You know, he knows the size of the enemy. And he knows the size of his crew. He's got 300 men. 300 men against a 135,000-man army? I mean, come on. What kind of battle tactic is that? Could you imagine going to our war cabinet and say, hey, listen, I know we're about to go to Afghanistan and Iraq. Let's just take 300 men. 300 men, we'll do it. They would laugh you out of the war cabinet room. Just get out, buddy. We need more than just that. We need the tanks. We need the artillery. We need the battle strategy. We need the battle plan. We got to have this all mapped out. We need structure and organization and all these things. Here, Gideon, his organization is 300 men, 100 on this side, 100 on that side, and 100 on this side against a 135,000-man army. I can tell you right now, I would be second-guessing too. I'd be praying, Lord, are you sure? Is this what you really want? Are you absolutely positive that this is what I'm supposed to do? And here Gideon gets the command. God says, arise and go. And Gideon, isn't it amazing? Gideon didn't go, okay, let's do it. He doesn't do that. And you know what? That's normal in my mind, because how many times has God spoke to us to do something and we don't just jump right up and go, okay, let's do this. Sometimes it's not like that, is it? Sometimes we need to be assured. Sometimes we need to know. And I'm thankful that the Lord is not shy with giving us the assurance that we need. Notice that God doesn't correct Gideon or rebuke Gideon. He never does. He never rebukes him. Even though he's lacking his own in faith, even though he has insecurities in his own heart, even though he hasn't seen God move in his lifetime, all these things, he's lacking this understanding of who his God is. He's heard about who he is, but he's never seen God move in his own life before. You ever been there? You heard about how good he is, but you haven't seen it in yours? That's a whole other message, isn't it? And so the enemy loves to look big down there. And Gideon is bombarded with the size of the enemy. And what he has to do. Have you ever looked at the task that God has laid before you and all you can do is see the size? Let me tell you something. God never calls you to do something and expects you to do it alone. Matter of fact, God doesn't call you to do something according to your ability. He calls you to do something according to His ability. And all he expects you to do is walk in him. And when you walk in him, you will receive his ability to do what he's asked you to do. Come on now, he deserves praise for that. Amen, he deserves praise for that. God gives you His ability when He calls you. He doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the call. Come on, how many have ever heard that? God equips you with what you need to do the job that He's called you to do. And Gideon had never grabbed it. So when he hears the words from the Lord, arise and go, he doesn't just go running to the enemy. God has to give him some more assurance. He says, listen, if you don't know, maybe you need to go down to the camp. Sneak up there. And God is so gracious to Gideon. He says, listen, you might even be a little bit afraid to go by yourself. Take your buddy with you. Have him go with you. That way you have some company. You know, sometimes it's nice to have company, isn't it? And so he takes Purah with him down there. And the Bible, the first thing that Gideon sees is the number of the enemy. Isn't that amazing? There's no faith. There's no belief. There's no victory. It's, okay, the camels, they look like sand on the seashore. The people, the Amalekites and the Midianites, all these people down here, they look like grasshoppers all over the place. They're all down there. And Gideon sees all of it, and all he can do is feel that intimidation factor. Now, I want you to know something. The enemy wants to intimidate you, but he cannot stop you if you move forward. I said he cannot stop you if you move forward. So he will intimidate you to stop you from moving. Did not Goliath stand in a valley and beat his chest and with his mighty sword and his mighty muscles and stand there going, you send me your best and defying the children of Israel? And didn't all the children of Israel hide behind rocks and in their tents? Because the enemy looks big when you got to face him right there in front of you. He looks huge and he intimidates you. And the first thing you think is, I can't do that. Come on now. Am I preaching to here or should I preach at the church down the road? He intimidates you and you go, I can't witness to my coworker. That's not me. I'm quiet. I'm shy. I'm an introvert. I can't be faithful to pay my tithes. I can't afford that. That's too big for me. I can't be faithful to the things of God. I got so much going on. I got so much to do. I can't do that's too big for me. And so he'll intimidate you and make you feel like you cannot when all you have to do is take one step out of the boat. And when you step on the stormy sea, it'll have stability for you. That's all you have to do. God is not asking you to have the ability. He's asking you to have the faith in His ability. Have faith that He'll bring you through. Have faith that when the storm is over, the clouds will split. The sky will be bright again. Have faith that God's going to see you through it. It took a little boy to destroy a giant. Don't think for one second that wasn't strategic by God. Because it was. Gideon, he is small in number, but he is mighty under the banner in which he fights. I want you to know something. We look out at this world. We watch the news. We see the negativity. We see the colleges pushing for their junk. We see New York passing this horrible bill to kill babies all the way up to 9 months. We see nasty, ungodly things happening day in and day out. The commercials on our TV are not a man and a woman being married. It's a man with a man having a family and a woman with a woman having a family. We've got distortion going everywhere. Wickedness is everywhere. But never has there been a time that we could have a greatest revival in all the world. Let me remind you that God moved in Corinth when they needed light. God sent the light. Oh, Vegas is ready for revival, my dear friend. So is this world. So is our nation. It is ready for it. Why? Because wickedness is everywhere. But when God's people stand, when God's people stand, the enemy has no choice but to push back. Does not the light dispel the darkness? Walk into your bedroom when it's pitch black outside and flip your light switch on. Tell me what darkness does. Oh, how we need to turn the light on so the enemy will see that we are not intimidated. Now Gideon goes down, he hears the news. He's sitting and he's spying and he's listening. What is the enemy saying? What's going on down there in the camp? And he comes across some men, the outpost of the men, kind of the men who watch everything. And they're sitting there having a normal conversation, not even realizing they're being spied on. And one of the men says, "Man, I had a dream last night. I dreamed that a loaf of barley bread just rolled down the hill. And it fell on a tent, and the tent fell." And his friend goes, "Oh, man." You see, in the enemy's heart was fear. Because his companion says, "That's the sword of Gideon. Gideon's coming." In the enemy's heart, he was afraid. I want you to know something about your enemy today. He is afraid that you will arise and do the will of God. He is afraid that you will stand mightily and strong and be bold as a lion. He is afraid of it. Because if you do, the Lord your God will be with you and support you and push greatness through you. And the enemy knows that if you stand, he has nothing he can do but watch in defeat. And I love this. Gideon hears these words, right? All this time, he's had doubt, he's had fear, he's had anxiety, he's had personal insecurities, he's felt like God wasn't ever there, he's felt like God isn't there, he's even asked God, "Where have you been? We've been having a hard time down here, where have you been?" All these things going on in Gideon's mind and his heart, and when he hears the words of the enemy himself, the Bible says that he worshiped. He worshiped. I want to read the verse. Can I read it? Let me see. Go to verse 15. Verse 15. It's the last one. There it is. "And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped." He said, "Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't have victory yet, but praise the Lord. The enemy's not in my hands, but praise the Lord. I don't know how it's all going to pan out, but praise the Lord." Oh, if you could hear the enemy talk this morning, if you could hear him speak about you, the enemy is talking about you and he's saying, "Oh, I'm afraid they might rise up." We don't want to push them too hard, because if you push them too hard, they're going to stand up in great might with God. If you get them to put in a corner, they might come out swinging. So we've got to be careful how we treat them. We've got to put just enough temptation in, just enough stumbling blocks in their way to keep them falling and falling and falling and falling, so therefore they won't arise and be victorious. Oh, the enemy is petrified, not of the politicians. He's afraid of you. Because greater is he that is in us. Oh, come on. Than he that is in the world. And the enemy is afraid that you will arise and be victorious. That you will stand and say, "I'm going to worship you no matter what." And so, Christian, it behooves you and I that we need to move from fear to worship. From fear to worship. Fear will stop you from worship. Fear will stop you from moving forward. Fear will keep you in a place secluded, alone and captivated by your own inner problems. But if you will move past fear and say, God, I choose to worship you despite how I feel, despite where I'm at, despite what's going on, despite the situation. God, I choose it. I choose it. I choose it for me. I choose it for my home. I choose it for my city. I choose it for my country. I choose to worship you. And I want you to get this. His worship is based off of belief now. Because before God said, I'm giving this to you. God said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. That's what God said. You're going to destroy the Amalekites and the Midianites. You're going to destroy them, Gideon. You're going to destroy them. And Gideon, when God said, thou mighty man of valor, he looked back and goes, who are you talking to? Someone behind me? That's how Gideon fell. It took a lot to get Gideon to believe what God had said he meant. It takes a lot for us to believe that what God says he means. He means it. And if God said, I'm with you, then he is. And if God said he loves you, then he does. And if God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, then he won't. What he said, he will do. If he told you in your heart, I'll give you your children, he'll do it. God is a man of his word. He keeps his word. He speaks it and keeps it. We need to move past fear and begin to believe. We need to move past our doubts, our insecurities, and move past that and say, Father, I'm stepping out of this box and I'm stepping into a box of worship. I'm going to worship you despite what is not even in my hand. But I know the enemy's afraid of me. I know that much. And you need to know that the enemy is afraid of you. That's why the attacks come. That's why you're bombarded. That's why you're weak sometimes. That's why you feel like you've been sluggish in your own spiritual life, that you feel like you don't even deserve God because you haven't been where you think you ought to be. But I want you to know something. The enemy wants you to feel that way, because if you feel that way, you will not step out of fear and into worship. And so God is trying to tell you, don't stay there. But step out into worship and let him bring this through. Oh, I feel that from the Lord. Now, I want you to know something. Go back to that verse, sis. Look at this. Actually, go back to the first verse. I want you to see this first. Look at this. It happened on the same night that the Lord said to Gideon, God said this, arise, go down against the camp, for I've delivered it into your hand. The normal response we would think is, praise the Lord, right? No, it's not all the time. For us sitting right here and we're not facing the Midianite army, yeah, that would, praise the Lord, go in, go and give it to us. It's easy to shout on the other side of the Red Sea, come on somebody. It's easy to pull out the tambourine and do a dance. A lot harder to dance on the other side. And I have to thank God for his gracious hand, because there are many times we haven't danced on the other side of the Red Sea, right? I have no problem on this side, but this side's a little difficult. So God said this. This is God's words. Now I want you to catch this. Go back to the last verse now. And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, I like that. He believes now. He believes now. I said he believes now. You see, the point of victory, the tipping point from defeat to victory, is belief that produces action. When you start moving in the direction of your belief, all things start to change. I still believe God can change anybody. I still believe God can fix any situation. I still believe God can heal any sickness. I still believe that God can do anything even exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ever ask or ever even think. I still believe that. Now my belief should produce an action in my life that when I see somebody sick, I pray, God, heal them. That when I see somebody despondent or hurting, that I go and pick them up and allow the word of God to minister to their heart and to their soul. And here Gideon, he finally believes it, and he starts preaching the very thing that God was preaching to him. Arise and go. Arise and be victorious. Arise, for the enemy is ours. You see, you need to know that what God wants you to do is simply arise and believe. Arise and believe. The Bible said of the children of Israel in the book of Hebrews that the wickedness of the children of Israel wasn't that they saw the giants or the enemy or they saw the walled cities. It wasn't that. The wickedness was their unbelief that God was able to give them what they saw was impossible for themselves. That was the wickedness of their heart. And so we have to be careful that we don't say we believe with our mouth, but not believe with our actions. We need to be careful to say, we serve the Lord, the only true God, the mighty God, the omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent God. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, the Elohim, the Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, the Jehovah Nisi. We serve the greatest God. Amen. We need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the words and forget the belief. So he believes it, and he starts saying the very thing that God says. And I want you to catch this. This is my final point, and then I'm done. Listen. God has already given you deliverance. It is planned out. In this story, don't we see that God says it's yours? It's yours. The enemy is yours. That's what God said. Now the question is Gideon going to walk over there and take it? That's the question right there. Deliverance has already been planned out, already been given. It's already yours. The Bible says in Ephesians, having predestined you to victory through Jesus Christ, God has already predestined you to have his son, to have victory, to be set free from sin. God has already predestined it. He's planned it out. And so since deliverance is yours, you just have to believe enough in your heart to say, I'm going to keep moving this direction for that deliverance to be mine. I'm going to march into my deliverance. I'm going to march into my victory. Listen, I love it when the Holy Spirit gives instantaneous victory without a fight. I love it. I'll take it every time. I will. But then we don't learn anything, do we? We don't learn how to stand firm and how to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Bible tells us that we need to be fully armed that we may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Deliverance is already guaranteed, my dear friend, especially if you march in the right banner. Especially if you march with God, it's already yours. I said it's already yours. It's already yours. The devil knows he's already defeated. He's just hoping he can intimidate you to stop you from believing that you're not defeated. That's all. He wants you to believe that you are defeated, but God has already given you the victory. I want to tell you what the victory looks like. It looks like a man hanging on a cross with a crown of thorns on his head. It looks like an empty tomb. That's what victory looks like. I'll tell you what victory looks like. It looks like the people who once were bound by ungodly sin that are in this building, who are no longer bound by that ungodly sin in this building. That's what victory looks like. I'm telling you, you have deliverance already. It is all yours. March and take hold of it. Arise and go and believe. Don't let doubt and fear stop you. But take hold of the blessings of God, knowing that God is with you and believing those things that God has said. The verse that comes to my mind right now is, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Oh, how the enemy has so many tricks. I don't have time to preach on all his tricks. But the Bible describes his tricks as wiles, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the enemy, the word wiles means cunning methods. He has cunning methods. And oh, how he wants to stop you from pursuing all that God has. How he wants to stop you from accepting the things that God has placed in your heart. But do you want to know, the story doesn't end with Gideon saying, let's go do this. The story of Gideon ends with 100 men on one side, 100 men on another side, and 100 men on this side. A vase in one hand, a torch in the other, and a sword. And they break the vase and they lift the torch. I want you to see that one man moved 300 men in belief. One man moved 300 men into belief. And 135,000 men rose in fear, killed themselves, and fled for their lives because one man said, I believe. I believe. Are you that one man? Are you that one lady that's going to arise and believe and say, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe with all my heart that this church is to move Kingman. I believe that with all my heart. This is our place. Matter of fact, I don't just claim Kingman. I claim Mojave Valley. I claim our county. I believe this church is put here for this place. I believe that we are a standard bearer. I believe that we stand on a wall crying out, the enemy is here, the enemy is here, watching over the people of Kingman, standing for righteousness and truth and holiness in Christ Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. And if Gideon can move 300 men to do something so magnificent, don't think for one second that you saying Jesus or talking to someone about the Lord won't have a long-lasting impact in thousands to come. I want you to know that the generations who grow up in our country with the gospel of Jesus Christ in their family and in their home started with somebody telling that one person that needed to know. And now generation after generation after generation after generation has been affected with the gospel of Jesus Christ because one man dared to believe God enough to speak out on behalf of God. And now generations have been affected and homes changed and lives transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ that was probably preached in the early 1800s to somebody. Isn't that amazing? All because someone dared to believe. Remember this, deliverance is yours. I said, deliverance is yours. Victory is yours. All of it is yours. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every rhyme. I am standing on his promises divine. Every promise in the book, it's mine. Sister Anne, would you come to the piano? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every rhyme. I am standing on his promises divine. Because every promise in the book is mine. Could we stand together this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father. Oh God, the enemy seeks to destroy.